Hello and welcome back to Murder, Mystery, and Sex with Serenity. Today we're going to be talking about Matthew Chase, a unsolved mystery that was actually solved. So, it all started on June 8th, 1988, in Los Angeles, when 22-year-old Matthew Chase returned from dinner with his roommate, Teresa Dow, and he remembered he needed to deposit a check. Okay, so it's nighttime, and, you know, he's like, oh, wow, I'm broke. I forgot. I need to go get some money, you know, put into the bank so I can have it on deck. Well, Teresa gave Matt her car and asked if he could pick up some cat food on the way home because they had a cat. But the next morning, Matt was still not home, right? It's already the next day, and Teresa's like, yo, where's my car and where's my roommate? Nothing. Teresa and their other roommate, Steve, so it was all three of them. Nobody fucking knew, okay? So Steve called the bank pretending to be Matt. They wanted to find out if he used his card that night, right? The bank said he had several times. That's odd, but let's keep on. Steve and Teresa then called the police. Because, you know, why would you use your card at the bank multiple times if you're depositing one check? Sus. Anyway, Scott Burkhart, the lead investigator on the case, said a light came on indicating that this is not going to be a normal run-of-the-mill case, right? It's going to be something that requires an in-depth investigation because there's a lot of sus activities going on right now, especially when he reviewed the bank records. It indicated that he made the deposit of a paycheck, received cash, and then returned to the same branch literally 30 minutes later and attempted to withdraw $280, which he knows is over the amount of cash he can receive per day. So it was either, there was theories here and there, but the main theory was he was being forced to withdraw the amounts. And the other theory was he was signaling for help, you know what I mean? Because you can do that at an ATM because it'll flag you. That same night, there were two more attempts made in Matt's account. The first one was $200 and it was denied. Insufficient funds, of course. And then a minute later, $100 was requested. Matt's paycheck wasn't even posted yet. So back in the day, obviously banks held your check to make sure that your money was good and it wasn't fraudulent. So it wasn't even posted yet. So everything that was requested to be pulled, withdrew, it was denied, right? 11 minutes later, the card was used at another bank in a different neighborhood. And again, everything was denied. But according to Burkhart, the lead investigator, a hidden camera, which ATMs do have, by the way, and they also have the main camera that you're on, but it took a picture and showed a strange man standing over Matt's shoulder. According to Burkhart, he said these surveillance cameras at the branch, the person standing next to Matt was somewhat shorter, stockier, and overall shouldn't have been in the photograph. No one is going to let anybody stand that close to them while they're at an ATM and can see their PIN number, which is true. I don't know about y'all, but I'm gonna need about 50 feet when I'm at an ATM, okay? Not only that, but I just don't like people in my bubble anyway. Anyway, moving on. Police suspect that Matt, you know, was abducted, kidnapped by the man in the picture that he was seen in making his first transaction. And then in an attempt to call for help, he entered numerous amounts, hoping to get flagged so he can get, you know, that attention. Over the next few days, there were five more, okay? Because if the first few weren't enough, there was five more attempts. By this time, his paycheck was cleared, obviously. So $400 was withdrawn from his account. And the card was confiscated by the machine. Sucks. But when the card was dusted for prints, nothing was found. Nothing. And obviously, investigators believe that the prints were either wiped clean or his abductor used gloves, right? Upon hearing of their son's disappearance, Matt's mother and father came down from Oregon to find him. They're searching everywhere. They're searching for the car just to see, you know. At first, they thought they were going to stumble onto the car somewhere in the area. But no, nothing. Police had no immediate answers. And they feared for the worst. Steve began, you know, distributing pictures of Matt. He called people, the news, everything. Nothing panned out, right? On June 27th, 3 weeks after Matt's disappearance, the car, which was, again, his roommate, Teresa's, was found, okay? Here's the twist. It was found in close proximity to where he disappeared. If that doesn't piss you off, it pisses me off, you know? Police, they found one clue of anything, a blue bandana. It didn't belong to Matt, Teresa, or Steve. So, you know, who could it have belonged to? Come on now, common sense. Don't ask questions. But, however, 3 months after he disappeared, his remains was found in a ravine in Pasadena. The cause of death was a gunshot wound. And in 2018, they finally cleared his case. A member of his family said they feel confident that his killer was David Bear Maza, I don't know, who died the day after Matthew disappeared. But there's still possibilities that David had, you know, other people to do some horrible things, obviously. But for sure, the family is grateful for closure. With that being said, guys, please understand that the world is a horrible place we live in, okay? Be careful. Just be with other people. Remember, even as adults, keep the buddy system. I know you've heard about it in school as a child, but as an adult, keep the buddy system. Okay. Have a nice night.